Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I am here with Amber Beam. Let me tell you a little bit about Amber. Amber's mission is to eradicate soul-sucking jobs everywhere. With 15 years in HR as an IO psychologist, she's seen it all. Now she's throwing back the curtain to reveal what you really need to know to win over skeptics in HR. She shatters the "it's too late" and "I don't think I have enough experience" myths to show women over 40 how to cash in on decades of experience and launch a soulmate career that makes a difference and pays the bills. Her proven coaching programs and courses have helped tons of talented women score five-figure raises and summer Fridays year-round. Her greatest achievement is hearing clients say, "Now I look forward to going to work." Amber, welcome to the Me Time Midlife Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, so great to have you. And I have some questions about your bio, but maybe we'll see if we get into those later.
Totally.
Yeah, but let's just start with this first question I ask every first-time guest, which is, what do you enjoy doing during your me time?
Oh, my favorite thing, and has now become a Saturday tradition during these pandemic times, is sitting on my patio with my coffee and binge listening to podcast.
Oh, nice.
I think my last record was 6 episodes in a row, but it was a shorter show. So probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Mm. Wow. That's
so
great.
So relaxing.
I mean, yeah. I haven't heard of binge listening before, but it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's great. Okay, so let's get right into it. Okay, so I'm interested in, yes, what people do, but I'm also interested, and maybe even more, in why people do what they do, right? Like, why do you decide to go into something, right? Like, I'm very interested in that. So why do you do what you do? So like, why do you help people over 40 reinvent their careers? Let's start
right
there.
Why would anybody want to work in HR for 15 years, right?
Yeah.
I have to tell you, it's really personal. You know, I used to watch my dad burst through the door in his mechanic overalls, covered in dirt and goo. He would vent about being disrespected and not listened to, basically just lashing out at the broken system. And even as a child, I thought, it is so unfair that he's unhappy at work. My dad spent 25 years slugging it out at the plant. But the minute he retired, he tried and succeeded at so many twilight careers, from head groundskeeper at a golf course to hair salon owner operator. And I'm so proud of him. I truly wish he had done it sooner. Mm. And for me, it's like I couldn't save my dad, but I can teach women over 40 not to repeat that mistake, right? I can show you that you can live a purpose-filled life right now and don't wait for someday.
Mm. Wow. So there's a very personal reason why you went into this.
Yeah. I think I heard somebody say giving dignity back to children. And I thought, oh, wow, because I know what it feels like to be the child who sees all of this pain, but just has no idea how to make it go away, right? That's, you just want everybody to be happy. And I think for me, I just knew this affects everything. I mean, clearly he's affected, but then your home life is affected and your family is affected. And for me, being an IO psychologist, industrial organizational psychologist, the root of that work is about finding people's happy place at work. And I knew that that's me. That's where I'm really going to succeed.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. And you answered one of my questions, which is, what is an IO psychologist? So thank you for that. Sure. Yeah, that's great. Okay. So let's talk about some limiting beliefs, because I hear this from my clients and my community. You know, this whole thing that I read with your bio, it's too late for me. What are some of those other limiting beliefs, and how do you help your clients overcome these?
Yeah, I think the it's too late happens a lot. You know, there's this overwhelming, I don't want to call it the midlife crisis, but you know, there is this pivotal point where you're like, okay, I've hit the point on the timeline where there's more time behind me than ahead. And what does that really mean? And I think what I have really seen, especially during these pandemic times, is it's almost a career awakening. Like, oh, it's not too late. I really do need to grab this opportunity. And this idea that your life is, you know, limited. We only have so much time. And I like to remind my clients that there really is no finish line, right? Life is every experience that you get to have. And if you're mid-career, you probably got, you know, 10, 15, even 20 more years, especially for people in the US, before you can take advantage of Social Security, right? Before you can fully retire. And that means that you've got a while to figure out what you want to do. You shouldn't have to like relegate yourself to this space of like, I'm not really digging what I do, but it's what I know. It's okay. I think that's another kind of limiting belief. The devil, you know, like, well, I don't want to jump from the, what is it? The frying pan to the fire. Mm. You know, I know that the demon's here. I have no idea what's out there. Mm-hmm. And that's another kind of like limiting belief. I think that people also stop short of really taking, you know, the first step because they feel like, I have no idea where to start. Like, what do I want to be when I grow up? Do I even get to have that thought in my 40s, in my 50s? Like, that's where the isn't it too late follows on. But I like to say that there's no finish line, and I highly recommend this idea of imperfect action. Just take one step. And if it doesn't turn out the way you want, take another step. It's not going to be the end of the world. There's so many opportunities to see things from different perspectives. Once you've taken just that one step, suddenly you're able to see, you know, more of the horizon. You're able to see more opportunities. And sometimes it's those quote unquote failures that really give light to the solutions. Like, think about any time you recount a family vacation. The stories that you tell aren't the things that went right. They're the things that went wrong, so because they're so funny. Right. And they're the experiences that you really remember. And I think that's especially true in your career. Like, there are those pivotal moments where you just have to say, oh, wow, okay, this is it. This is my opportunity. Just try one thing. Start with one small step.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I love that. So like having no finish line and imperfect action. Yeah, I could see how, I mean, I just did a podcast about ambitious perfectionists. So, you know, being imperfect, it doesn't sound like a very appealing thing for a lot of us, but I mean, it's the only way, right? I mean, you have to be willing to quote unquote fail in order to move forward. It's the only way, right, that we are able to learn about ourselves and all of that. And, you know, I love your kind of this possibilities mindset and, you know, overcoming these limiting beliefs, because, you know, we spend so much of our life at work, right? I mean, if you have an 8-hour day, I mean, it's like if you sleep for 8 hours and you have an 8-hour day, like that's most of your day, right? So we spend so much time at our job. What do you think as far as, you know, you had an experience with your dad, but what are some other things maybe women over 40 now, let's say even later 50s or beyond, what are maybe some like things that they grew up seeing with their parents? Because like my parents, they never talked really great about their job. Like their job was just a way to make money and provide for the family. But it was always like, we couldn't wait for the weekend, right? But what you're talking about is enjoying your job and finding fulfillment in that. What might other women maybe bring from their childhoods as far as maybe some limiting beliefs that they bring from that? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, totally. We've got, I think there's so much that our childhoods inform in the way that we think about what's available to us and your belief structure. So it's not hard to imagine that people of the Gen X and even some boomers might be thinking just what you're saying, like there's this longevity or maybe some loyalty lingering around your employer. I've even had a couple of people tell me sort of about, I have this, I'm so far in terms of years and seniority and time that I've put in. And that used to be the deal, right? It was all about the 30-year career, the longer you stay, the more benefits, the higher you rise, all of those things. But as we have seen, especially during the pandemic, things right now in especially corporate America are so flat. Organizations are flat. Your ability to rise through the ranks has suddenly like dwindled. And there's a really interesting, nomenclature kind of floating around, the Prince Charles effect. This idea that people who are in the highest positions, like the queen, have been there for some time, and they don't plan to vacate anytime soon. So what does that mean for somebody who's, let's say, 49 or 50, and you've got 10 years before you retire? Well, your ability to move up is really blocked. So those ideas that we certainly got from our parents, like you stick with the same company, job hopping is bad, work is a four-letter word. Like, oh, I can't tell you the number of times I heard that. But I think that the new age of work and especially the future of work is going to require our generations to step back and say, what is different and how do I become more mobile? And this isn't necessarily about moving up in seniority or getting a promotion. It's more about like building out your skill set. So much of what is happening in the workplace is really centered around capabilities. So do you have a particular skill set that somebody needs? How can you repackage sort of the things that you have done in your past to be seen as assets for what is lacking in the workplace right now? Some of the things that I especially think that people mid-career have that they're not really showcasing are those power skills. You know, we used to call them soft skills. I think that's silly. They're power skills. They're the most important thing that you can really display. And if you walk into an interview and you put those power skills on display, so things like influence and persuasion, if you tell a story during the interview about building consensus, about getting the naysayer to come around and agree to moving forward with the project. Those are things that millennials and younger employees cannot do yet, right? They just don't have the experience. And B, solve the hiring manager's problems, right? They're the most important thing to do during the interview is wow them with your problem solving abilities. Walk in with all of the answers. I have said now for a while that it used to be the most qualified person got the job. The job market has changed. There are so many things at play right now. It's really the best marketed candidate gets the job. And understanding how to repackage yourself to fit into this new age of work is super important.
Wow, I love that, power skills. I'd like to see somebody kind of put that on their resume. I wonder if, do you do that, or do you recommend that people do that? And then I don't know what people would think of that, employers.
Yeah, I think in your resume, you definitely want to list some of those core competencies, and that's mostly for the robots that are scanning your resume. Right. I definitely believe in that. But I would say any story that you can tell in the interview to highlight those skills is going to really elevate you in terms of in the eyes of the panel, because they're going to see that you understand this job isn't just about, let's say, project management, where you actually have to fill in the project management reports and give status updates. And I mean, yeah, everybody on paper could do that, or they wouldn't have been invited to the interview. Mm-hmm. But the minute that you can talk about the things that you do above and beyond the technical skills, that's what really sets you apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I love you said, you know, how you want to wow them with your problem solving abilities. And one of the things that is often asked in interviews are those behavioral questions, right? And this is where you can build in those stories. Like, tell us a time when you handled a conflict well, or you managed something, right? There's those yes. types of questions. And I mean, the great thing about being a little older than the millennial is that you have a wealth of experience to draw from, right? And it doesn't have to be work related. Is that right? Can they use experiences from their home life, or from, I don't know, dealing with their kids, you know, in college, or I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think, for instance, let's say you were talking about negotiation. So I would love to hear a story about negotiating with stakeholders, for instance, or perhaps you negotiated between two different divisions in your organization to get something done. And then a cute little follow-up is to say, you know, I'm really great with my college-age daughter too. We finally decided on this school or that school based on these criteria. Like, you can follow up those little personal moments. I think you have to be selective about the audience. Know your audience, of course, read the room. And then also sometimes there's a place for that in the elevator chat. I tell people, don't underestimate the ride up. I've had more than one interview where I just assumed that the person escorting me up was the admin, only to find out later that he or she used to be on the team, or he or she was a member of the current team. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know. And I'm always pleasant and ask them about their day. And I think sharing those stories in the elevator would be great too. Mm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, once you walk into the building or the office or whatever, you're being interviewed, right? How you greet Absolutely. People, you know, and all that type of stuff. Yeah, for sure. So what you're saying here, Amber, is that it is an advantage to be over 40 and reinventing your career. Is that what you would say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I was thinking about my client Penny and her journey. Before we started working together, she kind of had an outdated resume, and she really showcased her technical skills. She was a boss at marketing, but she also had all of these power skills that she really wasn't playing up. And so after working together, we worked through, you know, updating her resume and having these stories to share in the interview. And she went from being in a marketing associate to a promotion as a director for a not-for-profit. That's what those skills mean. They mean that you are experienced in handling, you know, big things. Generally, you know, a lot of my clients are handling multi-million dollar projects, teams of 10 to 25 people reporting up and down the chain several levels. All of those things are major skills that, to be honest, the hiring manager just forgets. So there's that opportunity to really repackage yourself, to really market yourself as, again, the solution to the problem they really have, which is, I've got this crazy guy in IT who never gets on board, or I'm the one who reports to the VP who used to manage this group and he thinks he still does, so he's micromanaging us. When you can sort of solve that problem for them, when you can come in and say, oh my goodness, they call me the VP whisperer because I have this really great way of building rapport with management up the chain, yada, yada, yada. That's what they want to hear.
Right. Yeah. And I would assume that women who are a little older are going to kind of command some more respect, maybe. Is that true, you think, in a room?
Absolutely. I think your experience, as soon as you own it as an asset, it is an asset. Now, that's not to say that ageism doesn't exist. That would be an ignorant statement. But I do think that you have this opportunity to really kind of reset the stage the moment you walk in. So if there is that little hint of, oh, they seem underwhelmed, or, oh, there was kind of a deep sigh or something awful, just really pick yourself up, use your body language, lean in and stand tall, and, you know, get your Amy Cuddy power poses on. Really talk about the way that you exhibit this power from whatever space that you're in. Sometimes we're in the middle, right? We're the middle manager, and we don't have a lot of authority per se, but we do have a lot of influence. And that's something that people really want to hear about.
Right. Wow. That's great. I love the talk about repackaging, right? Repackaging the things that you do well and showcasing those things, right? Is there anything else about repackaging that you didn't share yet?
I think one of the things that the most common error I see in repackaging, especially on resumes, is giving too much information. So pay attention to the details in the job announcement. If they only ask for 5 years of experience, or I think the most I've ever seen, honestly, is like 7 years of experience, you know, for someone at a mid-level job. Now, of course, if you're looking for a senior level leadership job, that would be different. But give them what they ask for. That's what I'm trying to say. Just give them what they're asking for. Don't give them too much. And part of your repackaging really there, again, needs to be about the results. What have you accomplished? Don't waste any letters or extraneous words on your job duties. Focus primarily on your accomplishments. That they want to know what you're going to do for them, right? This is the WIFM moment. Oh, we have to get her because she's already done X, Y, and Z. I know she could do that for us.
What do you think about, quote unquote, hiding your age on your resume? So for example, let's say it asks for, you know, at least 7 years experience in whatever kind of thing. Now, would you suggest saying on your resume over 7 years experience doing such and such, rather than saying 20 years experience doing that, because that might give away your age? Is that an issue or not? Because you're talking about, maybe we're talking about two different things here, but do you want to try to conceal your age if possible on your resume?
I think what you want to do is neutralize your age. What you really want to sell is the results. And I think in that traditional spot where people do say, I have 20 plus years experience in IT or in accounting, I think that that spot could really be the highlight reel, if you will. Like it could be the moment where you share the big accomplishment that is directly related to the job. So if they've just gone through, let's say, a merger and acquisition, and you know that culture and managing teams is going to be a challenge in that environment, your major accomplishment could talk about how you were able to bring together a team from two different areas to create this successful product that led to X percent growth and was able to come in on time and budget. Like that moment really just captures the recruiter's attention. Like, oh, they get it. They get it. We're in this situation. It's not ideal to be brought on in the middle of a merger and acquisition, but she understands that those are the kinds of skills we're really going to need. And how astute of her to say, I got you. I know what you need. Right?
Right. Right. Yeah, that makes total sense. So Amber, someone listening right now who says, yep, I have been thinking about this. I am ready to reinvent my career. What would be her first step? What would you suggest for her?
I think your first step is to go on LinkedIn and to find the job you want. Really name it. Name the position that you want to be in. Name the industry even. If the position is too scary, go a step further out and think about the industry. Oh, I've always wanted to work in real estate, for instance. And then take the next brave step and talk to somebody who's in that industry. It doesn't have to be like this scientific discussion, right? It just needs to be a chat. I love informational interviews for anyone who is kind of sitting on the fence, because it's a great way to hear what's actually happening in that industry. You get a realistic job preview. So you really understand, okay, real estate is a lot of nights and weekends, and I'm going to have to wear my nice heels all the time. If you're me, that's not for you. Right. But you won't know that if you don't have that discussion. Mm. I think that informational interviews are like the lightest lift, the easiest first step to getting information about what you think is your ideal job. And I would say this for people who think they want to be entrepreneurs too. You think you want to run a bakery. Maybe just check it out and see if that's really for you. The 3 a.m. Baking extravaganza that kind of happens during the night that none of us know about, but appreciate in the morning when we get our bagel, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much, Amber. And I know, I mean, I have people asking me about that too, you know, about coaching and wanting to go into that and doing informational interviews. And it's great. You get to tell them the pros and cons and, you know, the good days and the not so good days and, you know, all of that stuff. And it's just so beneficial to talk to somebody who's in it. So do you have, well, I know you do, but tell us about your website and anything else you'd like us to direct people to.
Sure. So you can check all of my coaching and courses out at amberbeam.com. And it's just like it sounds, AmberBeam, like Mary.com. And I've even put some special things on a results page. So amberbeam.com/results. I have the four things that you're probably not doing, but should to speed up your job search. I have an amazing roadmap for people who are looking for career reinvention and a couple other special things there. So some tools that can get you started. Again, just that first step. All you need is a little confidence boost, oh yeah, I can do this. And I know you can.
Great. I love it. Well, you sound very positive, and I know you've helped a lot of women reinvent their careers. So Amber, thank you so much for what you do, why you do it, and for coming on the show and telling us about it. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kim. It's my absolute pleasure.
If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it. The best way is to simply tell your midlife friends about it. It also helps the show's visibility if you rate and review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or simply directly in your Apple Podcasts app if you listen to the show that way. And if you want more me time in your life and continue the conversations we have on the show with other women on a similar journey, consider joining our Me Time Midlife community on Facebook. Simply search for Me Time Midlife Community in your Facebook search bar, or go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.